So how many times in those 8 years did you return to Hungary, or was it?
Six times. So every year or every second year.
Yeah, okay.
It depends. When I was out for 2 years, my parents came to visit me to Thailand or to Mexico, so it's happened two times. Sometimes I traveled also with my mother to Burma and Thailand and Cambodia, because I was not with them, so I wanted to spend some time with them, and it was a good way to take them out from Hungary.
Did you feel a tie to them? Did you feel responsible that you shouldn't travel because they were here?
In the beginning, of course, my grandmother, she were blackmailing me. That, really? Then I was young, like 18, 19, that, don't travel because I will be sick, nobody here to help me, or I will die, blah, blah, blah. And I was hesitating. I had a big fight inside me, and after decided that is my life. If she is sick, she can call me. I return back home. Yeah. And that time I traveled in Europe, so it's not that big problem. And she lived another 17 or 18 years. So can you imagine if when I'm 18 and I follow her wish or her desires and I start to travel when I'm 36?
Yeah.
So it would be not my life. And many people very frustrated because they cannot live their life. And I decided when I was like 16, 17 that I want to live my life, because I saw many frustrated and broken life because they just want to adopt to the society. They want to adopt to their parents, to adopt to their girlfriend, to adopt to everyone. And maybe this is the right way to do, but see the result of the people, see the result of the quality of the people, you know, like the broken lives. So I decided to try another way. And it's not so good towards my parents, towards my relationships as well. Or when I travel, of course, I don't have. But, you know, I had to sacrifice something for the travel or for this. So this is what you choose when you decide to travel or when you decide to live in your hometown.
So did you begin traveling at quite a young age? I mean, you were 17, 18, and then come back to Hungary to work, or?
No, when I was 17, I did only short journeys.
Right.
So my first bigger journey was during the university time. I take a 1 year break and went to India. Anyway, I was studying philosophy and Eastern philosophies, Buddhism, Hindu systems, and so. So it was a kind good reason to go there.
So
I like so much that I decided that after the university I will do the longer journey, because there is so many things to discover and so many things will disappear. I also studied cultural anthropology, and I was interested in the tribal culture, you know,
the
human museum. But it's much more, of course, it's very interesting, but this kind of lifestyle or this kind of societies will disappear. And also I have to keep in my mind that, if everyone just traveling, the planet wouldn't work, because some people need to growing rice, some people have to work to drive a bus and so and so. So it's a good proportion if the society has some travelers like Marco Polo and some adventurous people who transferring cultures, let's say in the good way, because wars can transfer also cultures, not necessarily good way. See Australian Aborigines or South America or wherever. So, and in this way, every traveler is a kind of ambassador of their country, of their culture. So I took also this mission, and it was important for me at that time. But I forgot your question, actually.
It was about when you started traveling. So it's always been there from a young age. It's just recently, or the last 8 years, that it's turned into more of a lifestyle.
Yes. Before, I traveled only in summertime, because I studied in university. I also had some works, but it was usually I worked for some projects for a few months. So it was never like many years job. So I try to manage myself. I prefer that.
Do you think it would worry you to come back and just to think that you were going to get back into that cycle of work?
It depends. Probably. Or they have to pay a lot, so I can give up myself for a year or two. It happened actually, but I didn't give up myself. I had a job offer in Iraq, you know, and it was a very good job. And it was quite interesting job, but that time I was still full with energy. I wanted to travel, and they needed 2 year contract. It was very good money. I really was thinking about.
But what was the job?
The construction company, arranging paperwork and so, because they do many reconstruction, but many people doesn't like to go there.
Okay.
And they needed the people who speak Russian, for example, and has the ability like arranging things, and mm-hmm. they know that I travel a lot and I can do it. Mm. But I was not ready for it. If they offer me today, I would accept it.
Yeah.
But nobody offer now. So.
Just because you feel like you've finished with traveling, or you finished?
More or less.
Do you think you were searching for something within your travels and that you found it then? Or?
You never know. But of course, everyone's searching himself or yourself. You search yourself and you want to know more about yourself. Where is your barriers? Mm-hmm. You know, like, but as more you know about yourself, as more you want to know more, that more and more. Mm-hmm. So, because you realize that many people live very unconsciously. You know, it's like they think they know something, but they know like a point. But when you start to know something, there will be more and more surface to what you don't know. Mm. And it's just extending and extending. Mm. So after a while, the wise people will stop this kind of search because they realize there is no end. So they usually turn inside, or they just try to change themselves. Mm. As you know, this old Chinese story, who wanted to change the world when he was young. And he spent time but realized he cannot change the world, but he can change maybe his country. He spent another 10 years, he realized he cannot change the country, just his town. He tried but he cannot. And finally he realized that he can change only himself. If he change himself, he can change his family. Mm. If his family change, they can change the people in the street, in the city, and in the country, in the world. So usually I somehow I'm responsible for a society as well, but first of all, I try to be responsible for myself. And I decided to travel. Now I decide to calm down, give something back to the society, and after I will see what's coming. So I try to do usual jobs what I like. So I don't want to give up myself just for money. I told you I can just for a shortened time. So when I was working this kind of 2-3 months, of course it's not a job what fits to me, like it's manual job usually. But I decided, okay, I work 1 hour, I can spend 3 days with that money what I earn in 1 hour, so I know what I'm working for. But just working for another car, a better home, to take shower for 20 minutes, you know, in hot water, and wasting a lot of water and money and resources, so it's not my way. There is much more valuable things what you can do in your life. But most of the people doesn't want, because in this way you have to give up something from yourself, but this is the way of developing. So when I'm talking to you that I'm hitchhiking and I'm a nomad, this is the way when you learn a lot, you know, because if you buy everything with money, the smile of the people and so, you don't learn about the society. But when you are, I told you, in a confrontation, you learn that these people helpful or not. They pick up you when you hitchhike or not, you know, like how they relate to you. So it's a good way to travel, but it's not for everyone. It's very few people can do it. I really found very few travelers like me. I mean, I travel a lot, but real backpackers, mostly they are East Europeans, so, but West Europeans as well, but of course they have much more budget and they can live the same comfortable life as they do at home, so it's not really this kind of nomadic life. But also they are far away from their home, so it's also kind of learning about themselves. But you have to ask them. So many people, when I ask what is their motivation to travel, they cannot really answer. So they no motivation, they just want to move.
And do, I think, do you think that was for you? Like you fell in love with the mobility, or you fell in love with discovering
places? Yeah, I was always a curious guy who always asking questions, and I reached the limit when people couldn't answer me. So I decided, okay, so I have to find the answer.
Yeah.
So that's why I studied philosophy, because it's about questions. If you see the Greek philosophers, you know, they were the one who asking questions, so they started to search for the answer and see what culture they build up. And see another cultures, but they didn't produce anything. So
did you kind of feel more at home, or a greater sense of fulfillment through being, from moving, from physically moving, or for when you get to a place and are involved in a community or learning about a community?
That's a good question, because I was somewhere in between. Because I didn't spend so much time in one country, because usually you have a visa problem. Only country you can stay easily for longer time is India, because they give you 6 months visa. Rest of the country you get 1 month, 2 months, maximum 3 months. But you have a lot of trouble to extend and so and so. So you cannot really involve, only you can do it if you work there. But sometimes it's complicated to work there, or you know, like the paperwork, and so you need special ability to do. I'm not a computer guy, so I cannot work everywhere. Nobody needs me to teach philosophy. I'm not so good in English. I can teach English in certain countries, but they don't pay well. So for me, that was the best way to travel. So when I was working, I couldn't really involve in the community because I was really working from 6 morning till 8 in the evening.
Yeah.
So after, you don't really want to socialize so much. But I told you, I know what I'm working for. So I didn't involve so much. But another way, there is a code surfing. We have to talk about it. In this way, I always organize meetings, so I meet the local people and I can ask their problems, how is the life. I like very much to visit slums, so to see the life over there, because you can, when you hitchhike, usually you get people, middle class, high class people in the third world countries who has car. And it's also a good experience because they see the society from above, but good to see the another end as well. And also the intellectual part, the code surfing, because in third world countries, usually the intellectuals, they're part of the code surfing. So also good to see in this. So we can say, okay, I participate somehow in the community, but not the traditional way that you rent a home and you live there and you get to know your neighbors and whatever. I did it more intensely because of the visa issue, I told you.
So it was important for you to mix with locals in a place rather than
travelers? Very important. I told you that the people makes the place, not the place. So when you saw already hundreds of lakes, thousands of mountains, and you climb them, after you don't run up every mountain. So you decide, but if you meet very nice, interesting people, you can stay some more days if they want you. And it's a good cultural exchange as well. So this is the way. But most of the people, they cannot do it because they're in rush. But long-time travelers, they can do it. So you can find in Portsmouth, I think there is also this kind of group, like long-term travelers.
Yeah,
and so,
urban nomads and things.
So you probably found it. So you can ask them, basically, what they think.
So do you think you've changed from the experience at all?
You mean me, myself?
Yeah.
I think every experience changes ourselves. I took more intensely, and I was doing also a lot of inner work before, you know, like I told you, meditation is one way of working on you, but there is many other techniques. And I was, when I was young, I was really interested in this, and wouldn't say I was changed because of the traveling, but I started to travel because I go through these changes. So it's give me some openness to know something. And I had the curiosity from my childhood. I was thinking about when I wrote my blog to write what I changed, but there is so many things. But you can change also when you go to the work, you know, you had interaction in the tram or the subway or listening news, watching TV, sometimes films or theater. All these things changing your life, you know, like I wouldn't say it just because of the traveling, because I did traveling, so the traveling made the change. But I wouldn't say because of traveling, change is a life.
Okay. So do you think you want something more or different from life then, that only living and settling in place can give you?
I think what traveling, this kind of traveling teaches you, that very few things enough to the happiness. And you can experience it when you robbed, you have nothing, for example, or you lost your luggage and you're standing in the middle of nowhere without anything. You know, and you realize that, okay, I'm free. You know, like, of course, we have many difficulties and some problems to solve, but it was a very strange experience for me, like standing in Panama for 2 days without anything, you know, like in a shirt and a t-shirt. And I was sitting down and so what to do? So I went to the library, I started to read books. So that was my way to solve the problem, and somehow the problem solved. So it's a long story, it's an interesting story, but it's happened.
So with your travels, was it a very prescriptive route that you had, or was it very determined by the people that you were able to hitchhike with?
Usually I travel like the migrating birds, according to the climate. So if there is a cold season or if there is a rainy season, I try to avoid. So it's a very important rule, because if you hitchhike and you travel in this way, you walk a lot. So when you have a heavy luggage, you don't like to walk. even if you walk a lot, and you can walk a lot, but you don't like. Mm. So I try to minimize my luggage in the minimum. So in this way, I travel in a good climate. I carry only like mosquito net, you know, just in case, because this gives you a good sleep if the mosquito is not around you. So that's the rule number one for me. And I forget the second part of your question.
Just how they how is your travel structured? Where do you go and why?
There was always certain culture I was interested in, and of course on the way I check everything. Like last time I really wanted to go to Uzbekistan, so I hitchhiked through Iran, Turkmenistan, Uzbekistan, then I went to Afghanistan, Tajikistan, Kyrgyzstan, Kazakhstan, and anyway I speak Russian, so that area is good for me because refreshing my Russian knowledge. And after I was really curious about Oman, so I flew to Oman because it was already October, November, so it started to snow, so it's a good time to move to the hot climate, and Oman was perfect in that time. So from Oman I went to Africa, and from Africa I hitchhiked back to Europe.
So you just wanted to go everywhere. There wasn't any sort of prescriptive, I want to do...
There was some sort, and I wanted to go to Yemen. That was my highlight. I wanted to go to Uzbekistan, Tajikistan. There was some highlight in South America, like Bolivia, Peru. But if I'm in Bolivia and Peru, I will visit Chile and Colombia and Brazil or whatever. You know, like this. I wanted to go to Mexico. So if I'm in Mexico, I visit Central America.
Yeah.
And if I'm in Asia, I fly to Thailand. So I will visit Malaysia, Indonesia, Cambodia, Vietnam, Laos, and those areas.
Just cover everything while you're in that area, kind of thing.
As much as possible, but for example, I didn't go to Brunei. I was not interested. I was on the border of Rwanda, standing 2 kilometers from the border. I didn't go. So it's not about getting bigger number of countries, but if there is nothing what inspires me, I don't go. If there is some small things and somebody invite me, or you meet nice people, or you have some contact, you will go there. But there was, for example, one very good surprise, like Salvador in Central America. I didn't plan to go there, really. Just I had some visa problem, and the only way was to avoid to go through Salvador. So I hitchhiked to Salvador, and I met the nicest people in Central America, you know? And there is not so much for nature, but the human nature is very good. So I really enjoyed.
Did you think you wanted different things out of your travels? Like you mentioned, it's the people, not the place. When you originally started, was it more natural beauty that you wanted to see?
And then Probably. I would like to climb mountains, and I like photography. Also, I like traditional culture, so it was also one of the reasons to travel, to go to Papuas, you know, like West Papua. I didn't go to Papua New Guinea, but western part I visited, or certain part of Africa, or still Southeast Asia, you can find some tribal regions. So that was the primary aim, but I was there, so I visited another cultural sites as well, and during this time I met a lot of people, so I combined everything, I think.
And did you couch surf everywhere, or did you often?
No, not necessarily. Recently I do more, especially in the big cities, but before not at all. I was member of the service, maybe you know service. Do you know that
service?
S-E-R-V-E-S.
No.
Oh, service. Anyway, it's the same like code surfing, but they started in the 50s, end of 50s.
Oh, okay.
And it was a peace building organization. That time it was a Cold War, you know, like East and West Europe separated.
Yeah.
And there was certain people who were looking for connection, you know, like they didn't believe that all what the propaganda says about West Europeans is true, or Western propaganda about communist system, you know. So people wanted to see the real life, to have a real connection with people. So basically I started to travel with them, and this organization is I would say more serious. And people are older, so when you meet people, they are really take seriously, and you get involved in a really deep conversation. Couchsurfing, it's more and more, because I'm 40, so I'm too old for the new generation. Sometimes I don't have that connection with the young people.
Okay.
They're just traveling for fun, or to go to concert or to pub. That's fine, but why are you staying with me? I don't understand. So there is no any question, no any curiosity. They don't want to know anything about Budapest. So I don't feel that they should stay at my place, you know. So I had some, not negative experience, but neutral, nothing special.
Yeah.
So I started with Servas after I got involved in hospitality club and later in coach surfing. I remember for 7 years or so, or 8 years, but I didn't use for many times. Once I tried to use when I was really robbed in Africa and I needed a place to stay, but nobody hosted me, so I said, okay, I will not use it. So I just keep going on the way as I did before.
Yeah.
But somehow, I don't know what was the turning point, but maybe I met somebody through hospitality club who encouraged me to get involved more in coach surfing. So I started and I started to like. So finally I'm here in your interview.
So with couchsurfing, are you still quite active with it now? Now you're based in Budapest, isn't
it? Maybe one of the most active person in couchsurfing in Budapest.
Yeah. And what do you get from that?
From that? I think nice relationship. I mean, people to meet. So when you make a couchsurfing meeting, there is always there is one or two people who are more interesting or you have the same vibe. So I try to keep contact with those people or those active people who can run the community in the future, because I'm not here physically. So I need somebody who can run some ideas what I give a birth, you know, like this cook surfing I like very much, because it's really about exchanging culture and get to know people, tracking the same bicycle tours. I did also canoe tours and film club, also certain people who are interested in certain films, not just the shallow movies, but some movies which you can discuss about. So I try to find those seed community who can be a heart of the couchsurfing community. But again, I will take a half year break or so, so I don't know what will happen without me, but when I'm here I do my best to organize these events. So you just missed, because in the last week there was like 3-4, but this week I make a more relaxed way.
And are there any particular places that you feel attached to in the world?
Yeah, Burma. It's my favorite country. Myanmar. Yeah. People, culture, even cheap, except the dictatorship, which makes you difficult to travel to. India, I like. Pakistan, it's on my top list. Iran, number one as well. Iranian hospitality.
People
are super intelligent and really. So we have many misconception about Iran, you know.
Right.
And when you travel there, all these things broke, and you realize that it's such an intelligent country, you know. And all the Western propaganda that you get. There is some reason to criticize the political system, yes, but the people are amazing. Any Iranian people you meet, you will be really impressed. Indian people as well, you know. Many people think, oh, India is just dirty and poor people, but it's absolutely not. They didn't visit India, they're just living in their 50s or 60s, what they see during Gandhi, or earlier, of course. But India also changing rapidly. So I like those people, mostly Asia, from India till Iran, Central Asian people, the best, you know, really the poorest people, the best. So it's always, they still know that what is the sharing culture, you know, they know that they can survive only with the help of others. In the Western culture, oh, I can survive with my money, you know, so it's really, they don't have to develop themselves to build a good relationship, because the money solves everything, and see what kind of people. Yeah. In Western society.
Will you not find it difficult living back in Western society then?
Which one, Hungary?
Yeah, and not having that kind of reciprocal relationship and community and sharing.
I have, this is what I do. I have a couchsurfing community, I have my network of my friends, you know, so it's enough people. I mean, I don't feel lost, or I go to India to be away from the people, and I can concentrate on my job, you know, like to write my book. Here I cannot do it, you know, it's so many things happened, so many people know me, so there is no, I cannot separate time for myself. So that's why I will move away a bit. Let's greet him, okay? Just. Hello. He's a very famous person in Hungarian couchsurfing community as well.
Hi, Gide.
Yeah. He's perfect in Russian, you know, like he finished the university, studied literature and Russian language and so. So he knows everything about literature. You cannot say.
Yeah.
And anyway, if you have time to meet him. And he lives also at the Bartók Béla Street, actually.
Oh, okay.
So yeah. You are neighbors. So if you want to meet them, you can do it if you have time or so.
Yeah.
No. And he's a bit. How's the deal? How are you? I think it's 1 o'clock.